It's a joyful morning, and I'm excited because in just a few days, we'll be celebrating the birthday of our Savior. Today I read from Luke 3, verses 7 through 18. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance? Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestors.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is laying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds ask him, "What then should we do?" He replied, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed by you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectations, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquestionable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. Thus is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't think anybody wants to be lectured by John the Baptist this close to Christmas. Unfortunately, there is just no way of getting to Bethlehem without first hearing the words of this rough prophet in the wilderness, calling his people to repentance. On this third Sunday of Advent, John demands that we prepare for Christmas through careful self-examination and recommitment. Our scripture passage for this morning is an example of John's preaching style, which I don't know if you've noticed is a little bit different than mine. He does not mince words or beat around the bush. In fact, I want you to picture a man who is almost shouting when he says, "You brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." The reason that John is so passionate about his message is because he believes that the Messiah is coming soon. And in light of the coming Messiah, God is going to expect that God's people behave, not just believe. When we misbehave, when we break God's laws, we are to repent. We are to apologize and ask God's forgiveness. When the Israelites behaved badly in the past, they would comfort themselves with their history. They would say things like, "It doesn't really matter that I lied under oath, for I am a descendant of Abraham through David or through Jacob. I am one of God's chosen people. So can I really do anything wrong in God's eyes?" John forbids this line of thinking. He forces each and every person to make a decision whether or not they want to believe. This personal decision cannot be based on communal heritage. Because for John, the coming Messiah is going to give God's people a new identity. And this identity is one that is not based on lineage, but on behaviors that point to Jesus. Now, before we go and judge the Israelites a little too harshly, like maybe I was doing at the beginning of the week, we have to remember that we too are a people who think our identity comes from our DNA. Just look at the popularity of products like 23andMe or Ancestry.com. I'm sure we've all heard people say something along the lines of, "I just found out that I am 2.7% Italian. This must explain my lifelong love of pasta." It's also not uncommon to hear people say things like, "Well, the DePauw's are just bad with money. That must be why I have a low credit score," or other things along those lines. But our text for today cautions us from using our histories as either an excuse or as a crutch. John insists that if we want to know who we are, we need to carefully examine what we do. So then, what shall we do? This is the question that the crowds ask John the Baptist. "It's really simple," John says. "Examine yourselves and your behaviors, and make sure that your behaviors align with your beliefs." So, for example, if you have more than you need, be generous. If you're in a position of power, don't exploit the vulnerable. If you have a job, make sure that you do that job with integrity. Once you've gone through this process of self-examination, you are ready to recommit yourselves to practices that make our world a better place. And for John, the good news is that this recommitment is totally doable. If you'll notice, John doesn't tell the rich to give away all of their possessions. He tells them to give away their excess possessions so that everyone has shirts to wear. He doesn't tell the tax collectors or the soldiers to stop being tax collectors or soldiers. He tells them, don't exploit people because you're in a position of authority. John isn't this wide-eyed preacher who's trying to convert everyone into being a wide-eyed preacher. He's trying to get people to live into their identities in line with the values of the kingdom of God. One of the foundational truths that John builds his ministry on is that our primary identities come from our relationship with God. And in that, all of us are equal. John proclaims that the Messiah is coming to baptize us with fire and with the Holy Spirit. What he means by this is that because of this coming Messiah, we get to have a relationship with God. In our baptisms, we die to all that separates us from God and take on this new identity as children of God. Our identity comes from our baptism. It's not something that we work to earn. Now, I don't want anyone leaving this sanctuary and going to work on Monday thinking that their jobs don't matter. Our work and our jobs are the specific way that we contribute to building a more just society. We need people who are committed to doing their work with integrity, intelligence, and energy, so that we can do our part to build a world that is more in line with God's plan for creation. So let me give you an example of what this might look like. Let's say you are a teacher. Your job is to teach children to the best of your ability, according to their ability. Teaching children to the best of your ability means that you can't cut corners on things like lesson planning or grading or teacher in-service days or continuing education opportunities. Teaching children to the best of their ability means you have to get to know your kids. You have to know when they're being lazy and when you need to push them. You also need to know when they're feeling overwhelmed and it's time to back off a little. But this also means that you have to manage your personal life in a way that allows for adequate sleep, exercise, regular meals, and some stress relief. But it also means always acting in the best interest of your children, even when you're off, even when you're not quite sure what you're doing. Now, I know that this sounds like a lot, but the thing to remember is that when we commit ourselves to practices of integrity, John is asking us to be faithful, not perfect. And what I mean by this is that we are called to give our very best each and every day. And we are called to be patient with ourselves when our best falls a little short. Because in the end, our work is not going to earn us any salvation. But our work is important because that is how we build a well-organized society where every member has an opportunity to flourish. And since we are trying to do this new thing, we're probably not always going to be able to do it perfectly. That's okay. I trust that that is where God's grace is going to fill in this gap between where our knowledge ends and where we want to be begins. I bet you're thinking, gee, this is quite the strange passage for a Sunday in Advent, particularly for the third Sunday in Advent, where we usually focus on joy. Now, I don't know about you, but the only time I've ever felt any joy in my work is when I am committed to carrying out my work with integrity. By being honest with myself and with others about what I can and what I just don't know how to do. By choosing day in and day out to do what is right instead of what is fast, fun, or easy. Friends, on this third Sunday of Advent, we learn that there is a path to joy, but that path must go through repentance. We have to be honest with ourselves where we fall short, where we overcommit ourselves, where we don't do what we say we're going to do. And we have to ask forgiveness for the ways that we have intentionally and unintentionally wronged God and one another. But committing ourselves to practices of self-examination and recommitment is one way that we reflect our faith in the coming Messiah, who we both anxiously and joyfully anticipate this Advent. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.